My guest at this time is Frank Gaffney. He's the president of the Center for Security Policy. He served as an assistant secretary of defense in the Reagan administration. He's an expert on Middle East policy and the fight against terrorism, and we want to get his insight now on what is a very surprising turn of events in Egypt after virtually every major media outlet reported that Hosni Mubarak would be announcing his resignation. Instead, he's transferred some powers to his vice president, Omar Suleiman, but made it very clear he doesn't intend to leave until his term is up. And Frank, thank you very much for being with us, as always.
I'm delighted to do so.
Is this just a matter of misleading sourcing? Is this a matter, you think, of Mubarak changing his mind at the last minute? How did this story get so wrong before the speech?
It's very hard to say. It could well have been that that he felt he had no choice and that the United States government was pressing him to leave, and either somebody in the United States government said that he was going to do it, or somebody in the Egyptian government said he was going to do it, but that he had in fact not made that decision, or that he simply changed his mind. And one of the other pieces that's in play here, evidently, is that the Saudis have been weighing in, obviously with the Egyptians, but apparently also with the United States government, to say, you know, wait a minute, we don't think this guy should be thrown under the bus. And that may well have been another factor, either if he decided differently or if in fact the administration decided differently. But either way, it's obviously a highly volatile situation. It remains to be seen whether, just because he says he's not leaving, he actually can stay.
Frank, in terms of U.S. interests, we know that the Obama administration clearly has been sliding more and more to the side of removing Mubarak from power without actually saying that, certainly wanting to see him go. And the president came very close to saying that without actually saying it today in his brief statement in Michigan. But Mubarak staying, is this, whether it's for stability or just his ability to prevent radicals from rising, at least in the very near term, is that a good thing for the United States? How do you read the fact that he's continuing to stay on?
Well, I think if the United States government appreciates the importance of having as stable a situation as we can for as long a period of time as we can, that would be a good thing. It's not clear to me that that is the view of the United States government. They certainly put themselves in a position where, as recently as, you know, a couple of days ago, they were insisting that Mubarak leave right away. Whether that remains, you know, their position or not, it's, as I say, a little unclear. But Greg, here's the point. What is going to happen in Egypt later, if not sooner, if circumstances do not interfere, is we're going to see the Muslim Brotherhood taking over the place. And that will be terrible for the people of Egypt. It will be a mortal threat to our friends in Israel, and I believe it will be a grave problem for the United States as well. So everything that can be done, it seems to me, to stave that off and hopefully avert it, should be what we're doing as a matter of national policy. But I just have to mention one other thing that complicates all of this, and that is, as you doubtless know, the director of national intelligence, the top U.S. intelligence officer in the country, today told Congress that the Muslim Brotherhood is, quote, largely a secular organization in Egypt, unquote. Now, this is so manifestly wrong as to be astounding and deeply troubling, when you add on top of it the fact that that is presumably the basis upon which the United States government has been making some of its policy decisions. It helps explain how completely addled and I think dangerous those decisions have been. So this adds a new wrinkle that we need to think through. I think that Jim Clapper, the director of national intelligence, has to resign for getting this so completely wrong. And if he isn't, he has to be impeached.
We're talking with Frank Gaffney, former Assistant Secretary of Defense, President of the Center for Security Policy. And Frank, you mentioned a moment ago that the main thing we don't want to see is anything that facilitates the rise and influence of the Muslim Brotherhood. Which is more likely to prevent that, Mubarak staying in power or allowing Suleiman to step up and keeping the military in better stead with the popular will of the people?
I think the military is going to have to be the decisive force here. whether it can be exercising that kind of influence on its own or under the direction of the Vice President Suleiman, as you say, or for that matter, whether it can exercise that kind of influence with Mubarak still around. All of these things are actually unknowable at the moment. I think the military is beginning to signal. We had a Supreme Council meeting, I think they call it today, announcing that they intend to play a role in trying to maintain order and stability in the country. If they assert themselves, either under the present leadership or the obvious successor to the present leadership, Suleiman, it will, I think, contribute to that kicking the can down the road that I think is the best we can hope for at the moment. But it's just not clear whether it can be pulled off. The military has been clearly disinterested to this point in using force against opponents of the regime. And if those opponents decide that they're not going to take no for an answer, they're not going to put up with any continued retention of power by either Mubarak or his vice president, they're not going to go home as they're being asked to do, then chances are the military is going to have to intervene one way or the other. And my hope is that they'll intervene on the side of maintaining a measure of stability and postponing elections until at least such time as we've got a shot at having secular opposition movements organize themselves and come into play. At the moment, they don't exist for all intents and purposes.
Last 60 seconds, Frank, and I also want to follow up on the point you made about your belief that Director of National Intelligence Jim Clapper needs to resign and getting it so wrong. Do you believe that this was willful? Do you believe it's their willingness to believe what the Muslim Brotherhood wants the world to believe? How do you think we got to this point where the administration came to that conclusion, at least publicly?
Yeah, it's a great question, Greg, and the answer is this administration, like its two predecessors, have been subjected to intensive Muslim Brotherhood influence operations in our own country. Jim Clapper himself said in November to Diane Sawyer at ABC that he regards the Muslim American community as a source of advice and counsel and wisdom. Well, the people he's been interacting with in that community are Muslim Brotherhood front groups that have been identified as such not only by the United States government, the Department of Justice specifically, and the Holy Land Foundation trial, but actually by the Muslim Brotherhood itself in a memorandum that was introduced into evidence in that trial. So this isn't even a hard call. The United States government, Jim Clapper personally, his organization, and I think many other parts of our civil as well as official entities in this country have been subjected to that kind of influence operation, and that's part of why we're getting it so wrong.
So many different aspects of this to follow closely. Frank, thank you so much for your insight as always.
My pleasure. Thank you, Greg.
Frank Gaffney is president of the Center for Security Policy. He's also a former Assistant Secretary of Defense. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.